It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 36 of Taylor Talk. This is Adam.
Oh.
And Diane.
And sadly, Maya's asleep on the East Coast, and Haley is in no man's land with no internet. Imagine that. Weird, right?
That is a scary place to be.
Right? So they can't join us this episode, but they'll be back with us next week.
Let's start with the calendar.
All right. On November 1st, the CMA Awards are on. Yay!
Sweet.
The CMA Awards are awesome, and Taylor has three nominations. She's nominated for Entertainer of the Year, Female Vocalist of the Year, and Musical Event of the Year for A Safe and Sound featuring the Civil Wars. And they're going to air live on ABC at 8, 7 Central, so make sure that you are tuned in. And these are unfortunately not fan-voted, so sad face. Also, another really exciting thing happening on November 1st. Taylor Talk has its first birthday!
What?
No, we're babies. We just learned how to crawl.
I know.
We're 1 year old. How cute.
Taylor Talk,
bringing you all the latest Taylor Swift news for 1 year.
Woohoo! I think this is exciting, though. I'm excited about this year anniversary deal.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I can't believe we've been around it for a year already. We love doing it. We're going to keep doing it. So everybody that's been listening from the beginning and everyone that's new,
hi.
Here's to another year.
And
cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Woohoo!
If I had something in my hand, I'd clink it, but I don't.
And 10 days after Taylor Talk's first birthday on November 11th, VH1 Storytellers is going to be featuring Taylor. You guys all remember that contest that was held not that long ago about bringing Taylor to your school? Well, Harvey Mudd College won that. And now VH1 is going to be airing footage of that concert, so be sure to tune in on November 11th and watch that. Also on November 11th are the MTV EMAs, which I believe stand for European Music Awards, right?
Yes.
Okay, Taylor has been nominated for Best Live, Best Pop, Best Female, Best World Stage, and Best Look. These ones are all fan-voted. And it doesn't matter where you live, so everybody go to mtvema.com and get your votes in for Taylor. Now, Diane's going to give us the news.
This week in Taylor, the music video for Begin Again was released. This music video was gorgeously shot in the city of Paris, France, and it was directed by Philip Andelman, who is the brains behind another Taylor video, Safe and Sound, which I thought was really great, and we will talk about that more later in this episode. And finally, Taylor announces the first Red Tour dates. Yay!
Woohoo!
And even better, she's going on tour with special guest Ed Sheeran.
I'm so excited.
Me too. So hopefully they'll be singing, what's the song called? Everything Has Changed.
Everything Has Changed. Come on, Diane. You host
the
Taylor Swift podcast.
I had a little brain fart, but I know what it's called.
I'm sure they will.
What?
I'm sure they'll perform that song.
I'm sure they will too. You can visit taylorswift.com to see when she'll be in a city near you. And finally, Taylor will co-host the Grammy nominations concert live, along with LL Cool J. This will be airing on December 5th in Nashville on CBS at 10, 9 Central.
Thanks, Diane.
You're welcome.
You're silly. So, as Diane told you about, a minute or so ago, we're going to be talking about the Begin Again music video. So let's get it rolling. What was your first impression of this video?
I love, the way that they did the coloring.
Yeah, this video was very visually beautiful.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, of course, because it was filmed in Paris, and I love Paris. I think it's an amazing city. So I was really happy that they filmed a music video about a love story in the city of love.
You know, Belle, it's interesting you pointed out the coloring, because I kind of feel like it does have a very similar feel to Safe and Sound, which was also directed by Philip Andelman.
I agree with that. And another thing I noticed is if you take the We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together video, everything was bright. Everything was rushed. Everything was happy and excited and kind of in your face. And this video was very, they toned down the colors to sort of faded pastels. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for some reason, I've never been to Paris personally, but for some reason I feel like that really gave you the feel of Paris.
Yeah, it did. You're right.
I was in Paris this summer for about 4 days, and I can say that like it was kind of that same feeling. Like it was very overcast, things were like soft looking, and I think they definitely captured that in the video.
And I think Taylor looked very mature in this video.
I would say so.
I mean, well, to explain that, I feel like, and I'm not dissing the "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together" video at all, because I love that video and I love that song. But I just feel like in so many ways, her look, her persona, the video itself is just like on a completely opposite kind of spectrum.
In what way? I don't know if I'm...
Like, she was just, like, hanging out and goofing off with the band and stuff, and We Were Never Ever Getting Back Together. And in this video, she seemed like... Okay, take, like, another example. The Our Song video. I love that video. She is definitely a teenager in that video, talking on the phone and doing her nails and, you know? And I felt like this video, I really, like, it really hit me that she really is almost 23 years old. Like, it really... I don't know, I think it was a lot of her facial expression... just really gave you the feel of, like, okay, she's lived through a couple of things now. She's experienced a little bit of, like, life outside of the teenage spectrum, and this is, like, the whole video just seemed like a reflection on her part.
That's true. And to be honest, okay, I get what you're saying about how this video seems like a reflection, and to me, when I imagine this song, I don't see that. I wanted more of a story. And that was a problem for me. Like, I wanted to see him laugh and throw his head back like a little kid. And I wanted to see him, like, I don't know, like, oh, like do something nice for her instead of just sit there and smile. Like, I feel like the guy was very absent and I wanted more of a story. And to me, like, I was like, okay, this video is pretty, but that's where it stopped for me. I didn't.
It's funny that you said that because I kind of felt the same way. You know, Taylor said that this song is about a first date. That's what it's about. And I didn't see that first date because you brought it up when you said the male character was rather absent. Like, he was in the video, but he kind of... A lot of it was just Taylor by herself.
I think, like, I expected it to be more of a story because a lot of her videos are very literal. Like, you belong with me. I mean, that video took every lyric and really created the story from it. Like,
I love
verbatim.
That video so much.
Yeah. And this one, I mean, I expected it to be more of a story, but unlike you guys, I wasn't necessarily like let down that it wasn't more of a story. I was just like, oh, this is not what I was expecting. I was expecting like the images, like him throwing his head back laughing and stuff like that, and that didn't end up being how it happened. But the reason that I don't mind is because it did make me focus on Taylor and think about Taylor as like a songwriter and to what she was trying to express visually and emotionally with the song rather than like on a linear path. So it wasn't what I expected, but I wasn't let down by it, if that makes sense.
You know, that makes sense. But she was so descriptive in this song that it just made sense. Like, she more or less almost wrote the music video.
Yeah, she did.
In the song, and the video itself didn't follow that. I think that's what Diane was trying to get across.
Yeah, and for me, like, I think the video is pretty, like I said, but it's not something that I would sit back and watch over and over again. Because I'm like, okay, well, I can just... listen to this song and imagine my own video in my head, and to me I feel like what I imagine is better than the video that they made.
So do you know what would be kind of fun here?
Mm-hmm.
Having a smackdown, a battle of the directors, because all the recent videos, with the exception of Both of Us, which was directed by I believe Jake Nava, is that how you say it? N-A-V-A?
I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Wait, for which video?
Both of us.
Oh, okay.
But with the exception of that one, all the recent videos have either been Declan Whitebloom, who we had on episode 8 and is a really cool guy, and Philip Andelman, who did Safe and Sound and Begin Again. And then to recap, Declan did Mean, Ours, and We Are Never, Ever, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together. So who do you think does a better job at relaying or conveying or portraying Taylor's songs in a video?
Declan. Hands down. Declan. Declan Whitebloom.
Are you just biased because we had him on Taylor Talk?
No, because I wasn't on that episode and I didn't get the chance to talk to him. So I can't be biased. Even though he did tweet me once and that was really exciting. No, I just like the fact that his videos tell a story, and I like watching the video because I feel like I'm like his videos, I think, add something to the song. They're like, okay, well, this is about one story of how this song could be. And I think, like, with Philip Andelman, I believe how you say his name.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm listening to a song and watching pretty pictures. And to me, that's not enough.
See, I think his Safe and Sound video told more of a story than Begin Again did, though.
Personally, I can't pick because I think they both tend to trend and do different things with the songs. And I don't necessarily think that it's like saying, I don't know, it's like comparing two things that I can't really justify comparing.
I suppose that makes sense because they do have very different styles.
Yeah, they have very different styles. And I think that they both just have different goals. And I think that, you know, with these songs and with these music videos, like one of my favorite music videos of all time of Taylor's is the Hours video from Declan.
Sure.
That video cracks me up. I love it to death. But I have watched the Safe and Sound video several times, and I've watched Begin Again a handful of times too, and it's just like for completely different reasons than I watched the Hours video. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I wonder, now that I'm thinking about it, if Taylor chooses her director based on what she's looking to accomplish, which I'm sure she does, but I wonder how she decides that. Like, oh, I want this one to be directed by Declan because I want it to be true to the story. I want this one by Philip Andelman because...
Be images.
Yeah.
That's possible. I mean, if I was in her shoes, I probably would definitely choose the director according to what I personally wanted to convey with the video. Because everyone is going to have their own style and their own, like, way of wanting to bring the story out. And I remember we were talking to Declan and... when we were doing the interview, and correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but I think he was talking about working with Taylor and how they had a lot of like the same ideas for the video.
A lot of the same vision. They had a very good dynamic working together is what he was getting at.
And I think that that's important with any video that you have when you have an idea for it, especially when it's a song that you wrote. I mean, you have to choose somebody that's going to share your particular goal for the song and for the video. And if you're going to have a different goal for different songs, then going with the same person all the time isn't necessarily going to be your best option.
That makes sense. I just personally prefer Declan's style with all the color.
I like the way that they did the color scheme. Declan likes the bright colors, and that's great. I love the videos he does. But I will say that I really do love the way that they visualized and colored the Begin Again video. It would not have been an appropriate way of handling, like, you're never ever getting back together. Like, if a video was in those type of colors for that, I wouldn't have thought that fit the song at all. But I feel like for this song, you're supposed to, like, reflect in the beauty of Paris, and you're supposed to, like, reflect on... Because, I mean, Begin Again, yeah, there's a story involved in it, which she's talking about, you know, meeting the guy and everything, but the concept of the song itself is, like, I spent all this time reflecting and kind of letting this past failed relationship, like, scare me and make me nervous and, you know, make me question everything.
I'm actually really glad you pointed that out, Belle, because now that I'm thinking about it, now that you pointed that out, I can really see where Declan's style would not have fit this song.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're 100% right on that.
I feel like the point of Begin Again is emotional reflection rather than a story, like a linear story. And I think that that's probably what Philip Andelman was going for, is really conveying the emotional reflection rather than the literal story.
Sure.
You're probably right, but I still would have liked to see at least, like, some more of a story, like a hint of a story.
I would have liked to, I mean, only a tiny, I wouldn't have changed the video itself, but I would have liked to see a few things. Like, I think I mentioned this a few minutes ago, like the guy throwing his head back and laughing. I would have liked, even if it wasn't in conjunction with the line, I still would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah, and that's kind of a small part that could have easily been worked in.
And like I said, I wouldn't even necessarily see it in conjunction with the line. I would have just seen it as, like, just a moment, maybe during an instrumental part break, or, you know what I mean? Just something to kind of...
A visual.
Yeah, a visual to just kind of, like, tap us into Taylor's moment of realizing life goes on.
So, overall, do you guys give this video a thumbs up? Or let's go 2 thumbs up, 1 thumbs up, or... thumbs down.
Can I give it a thumb sideways? Thumb sideways. In between option, can I do that? Can that be my vote?
Sure.
Okay.
Diane, just for you, we made that new rule. There's a sideways thumb now.
All right, thank you.
Belle?
I'm giving it a thumbs up.
One or two?
I'm giving it two, because I think it did a good job with what I get the impression it was trying to convey.
I'm going to give it one. I'm going to go in between you guys, because I liked it, but I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it either. It's just kind of in between.
So you have like 1.5 thumbs?
Sure, 1.5 thumbs. I like it. Cool.
Okay.
So after almost a month and a half sabbatical break, non-existence, the mini segments are back!
Yay!
Yippee!
Yay! Sorry we couldn't include those all in those special editions. They were all short episodes. That's why Belle kindly put together a video compiling all of the mini-segment submissions we got in the last month or so. That's on our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/TaylorTalk13. Go check out that video. Belle worked really hard on it.
I didn't know that video came out already. I'm going to have to go watch it.
Oh, Diane.
I'm sorry, Slacker. Nobody told me. I didn't know. But now I found out the same time that the listeners found out. Actually, awesome. We can all watch it together.
Yay! Go have a watching party.
So now that the minis are back, let's kick it off with a voicemail from Catherine. Catherine?
If Swifties ruled the world, then whenever you met someone new, you'd say, "I'm enchanted to meet you."
Aww.
That was sweet.
Catherine, I am very enchanted to meet you. Da-da-ch. No? All right, then.
I didn't quite know what to say to that. I wasn't sure if I should have said thank you or just let it go.
That is kind of like a good to know.
Our next submission comes from BounceRuby88, and they say, if Swifties ruled the world, everyone would receive a complimentary bottle of Wonderstruck.
Yes, please.
Ooh, the world would smell better.
Definitely.
Yeah. We'd all smell beautiful.
Absolutely. Our next one comes from TotalFreak123 on Twitter, and they say, you know you're a Swiftie when you will never, like ever, get tired of listening to every song on Red.
Bam! That's a good one.
Agreed. Like ever.
Alright, next up is from Jade_Taylor13 on Twitter, who says, you know you're Swiftie when you're texting your crush and listening to Taylor, and she gives you the courage to tell him you like him.
I love this one.
I like
such a way to be fearless.
Way to be fearless and speak now.
Exactly.
Ooh, double Taylor puns.
Our final submission is a voicemail from Sarah.
Hello, it's Sarah Mel again from the UK. I'm going to do a submission, and my submission is, you know you're Swiftie when? You know you're Swiftie when? You're halfway through making tea, and your friend rings you to tell Taylor's on Key 103, which is a UK radio station. And then you just stop what you're doing, and you're like, I'm going to go grab my radio. I'm going to go listen to Key 103 because Taylor's on it. And then you listen to the rest of the interview until she's been on it, and then just carry on making tea.
All right, thank you, Sarah, for that.
Woohoo! Yay, all right, let's move on to our next topic of discussion. Last week was the Red launch week, and so much went on. Taylor made 1.5 million public appearances, so we're going to do a quick recap of them and just kind of highlight some cool things that happened during them. And then afterwards, you guys can visit taylortalk.org, check out the episode guide for episode 36, and videos of all these interviews will be there in case you missed any of them and you're interested. So the week started off with her appearance of Good Morning America on Monday morning. So let's talk briefly about that. I think probably the coolest thing that happened was the gift they gave her. What do you think?
Yeah, that is a special moment.
So the Good Morning America crew decided to give Taylor a gift when she first showed up, and it was actually the very first Red CD off the press.
That's really special.
And it came with a certificate of authenticity and all that cool stuff. And it was really cool. So if you're wondering where the very first Red CD ever made is, it's in Taylor's apartment.
Just saying. That's just a special moment when you create something and you receive it and you know it's the very first one ever printed and or, you know, created or, you know, made. And it's just, I don't know, I think that's just a cool moment. So I'm really glad that they actually did that for her.
Yeah, that was really nice of them. Next thing I thought was really cool from Good Morning America was they had a contest to fly out a Taylor Swift fan to New York for the concert the next day, which we'll talk about briefly in a sec. And the winner was this girl, Sarah Jones. And I thought it was really cool watching her because they had her on Skype at first when Taylor was sitting there and she was crying and freaking out. She's like, oh my God. I thought it was funny.
That's really cute.
And I thought it was especially cool that they highlighted the fact that her fiancé proposed to her at the Taylor Swift exhibit in the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville.
That is incredibly awesome.
I think her fiancé should teach lessons to men on how to sweep women off their feet, because that sounds a little perfect.
Oh.
I agree with that.
Yes, you know, I Sarah's feel a very like... lucky girl. I feel like this name, Sarah Jones, is like really, really, really familiar from somewhere. I wonder if she listens to Taylor talk.
I feel like she might.
I feel like she does.
I feel like she might be listening right now.
Name somewhere, and yeah, it's like the tip of my tongue type of thing.
I could have sworn I've talked to her on Twitter before or something.
Well, Sarah, if you're listening to us, hi.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey. Hi, Sarah.
And we're really happy that you got to do that.
That was so cool. Of course, like I said, next was the GMA concert the next day. That was pretty much a standard Taylor Swift concert, don't you think?
Yeah, it was pretty standard. She sang what, We Are Never Getting Back Together and Red.
And also Love Story.
Right.
That was cool that she sang Love Story.
That was cool that she pulled out one of her old songs. The coolest thing I noticed about it, aside from the red microphone, which ended up making appearances in all her performances the rest of the week, was that whole We Are Never Getting Back Together arm raise dance that started with the webcast, like, has become standard.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, it was one thing to see the webcast when she released We Are Never Ever 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 Getting Back Together. And the few people in the room, there were, what, 20, 30 people in the room, raised their hands. They're like, we are never ever. And then it's a totally other thing to see, like, thousands of people in Times Square in New York City doing it.
It's just exciting to see something that starts, you know, as like a, I don't know, like almost a reflexive thing, grow into a tradition.
Yeah, totally.
There are definitely, you know, traditions from like the Fearless Tour and the Speak Now Tour that started with, you know, certain little movements to songs and became this phenomenon. And this is definitely going to be the Red Tour signature move.
Oh, for sure. So, moving along to The Late Show with David Letterman. That one was hilarious. I highly recommend watching it if you haven't seen it yet. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I thought that one was really funny. She mostly talked about her Rolling Stone interview and the fact that she's a really safe driver, but she just happened to get in two car accidents that day.
Oh, just two.
Just two.
And one of them happened to be banging into Amos's car.
And the funniest story about that is that Amos, when this happened, everyone was tweeting Amos about it, right, on Twitter. And someone goes, Amos, is Taylor okay? And Amos replies back, I'm fine, thanks for asking.
Poor Amos.
And apparently Taylor had to assure Amos that she was good for it, you know, the car damage.
Right, because Taylor can totally afford to repair the damages. You know.
Definitely something that you had to worry about there.
So one of the things I pulled out of that interview, though, that was, I felt really, really important, was because she got in these two accidents and she was cruising around with the writer from Rolling Stone and she was really, really nervous. She said at dinner that evening when she had dinner with the writer that she was stuttering more than normal. And it occurred to me that she was subtly hinting at the fact that she does have a stutter, yet she's totally comfortable with it. And I think that was a good message for her to portray that, like, hey, I'm Taylor Swift. I'm a big hit singer and I have a little bit of a stutter. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not a big deal.
I love in general how she's not like afraid or ashamed to admit her quirks. Like she doesn't ever try to put on like she doesn't have them. And I think being confident with your like imperfections, quote unquote, is one of the reasons I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's knows that she's not perfect. She doesn't try to be perfect, but she still has a lot of confidence. And she's like, yeah, I have these quirks. And...
But I think that little bit of her personality is why she is such a good and successful role model for young or the younger generation.
Yeah, because... I agree with you 100%. I think that has a huge... I think that because it gives her a level of relatability.
Sure.
Like a huge level of relatability because people can be like, you know, or remember she was in past interviews when she'd talk about like how she used to feel awkward as a child. And how she just grew to, like, be completely okay with the fact that she's tall and right. things like that. And she's like, I know, I didn't always used to feel that way, but I will. And I think that gives a lot of people, like, a reassurance that, oh, you know, I don't have to be non-awkward to be a successful, comfortable adult. And I don't know, I think it's important. And I think that that's a really good message that she gives to people. And I think that has a lot to do with why so many people are dedicated fans.
It's a good example to set because... Despite what you ladies may think, even I, Adam, am not perfect.
Really?
I never thought you were.
Since when? Sorry to disappoint you.
Well then.
I'm kidding.
Scratch his head, crawls in a corner, starts crying right now.
Oh, but baby.
You are not going to cry. You might cry.
I might.
Adam doesn't cry. What are we talking about?
Adam never cries.
Adam didn't
we know
cry
that.
During Ronan.
Can I, like ring the little cry. Bell that Ellen gave Taylor?
Belle, I don't know what you're talking about because we haven't gotten to Ellen yet. Next up is The View, which overall I thought was less than informative, but there was a funny moment when Whoopi Goldberg, one of The View's hosts, pointed out the fact that her cat, Oliver, is getting a little bit jealous of Meredith and all the public recognition Meredith gets.
Speaking of Meredith, one quick thing. I know this isn't related to The View, but there's a new Meredith video out.
I saw
Oh,
that.
Yeah, there is. You're right.
That was funny.
Really cute.
She was lying Taylor on her back tweeted and not it. Being ladylike.
Once again, bad posture.
Yeah, Taylor tweeted it and posted it on her Vimeo, right?
Vidi, I think.
Yeah.
Vidi.
Vidi?
Yeah, V-I-D-D-Y.
Okay, it was on her Vidi. So go check that out if you haven't seen it. But I thought that was funny. Then something I also thought was actually funny from The View was one of the hosts of The View was commenting on how much money Taylor makes according to Forbes and everything. And aside from the fact that I thought that would be a really awkward question to be asked publicly on national television, I thought it was really funny because the host is like, what do you do with all that money? And Taylor just kind of looks and is like, I don't think you should spend it all.
Yeah, and then she's like, well, I like room service.
Yeah, she like didn't know quite how to answer, and just that little bit of awkwardness was really adorable and funny and humorous, and how do you answer that question? It's a terrible question
to
ask.
Funny ways to handle awkward questions.
Yeah, because she gets a lot of awkward questions.
Yeah, she gets a lot of awkward questions, and she does really good with them, I think.
Yeah, but it's a question that shouldn't really be asked. Like, how much someone makes is a personal thing, and it's irrelevant.
I'm just saying I think that she handles it well when people ask her stuff like that. She always finds, like, something quirky to kind of, like, turn it from, like, a serious question into, like, you know, a giggle and then move on.
Right. Which is a great trait she has. But moving along with our public appearances, I'm going to hand it over to Belle and Ellen. Belle and Ellen.
Belle
and Diane.
Oh, my God. Is that the surprise?
To talk Ellen. About Ellen because... These two ladies were there, so take it over.
So it was actually pretty exciting. About a week before this performance was taped, Diane and I found out we got to go.
Yay! I was so excited.
Yeah, I was really excited too. So long story short, we got to go to Ellen. And just let me clarify, we weren't actually in the interview, like in Ellen's show, because that's a whole different thing. We were at the outdoor concert that Taylor performed on Ellen.
Okay.
And it was actually a really exciting concert. We it was held in the back lot of a WB, like, studios. So that was really cool. And so, you know, we're watching her perform in front of this gigantic WB thing. And we got to participate in the hand motions for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together that we were talking about earlier.
Yes, so cool. And the thing that was funny is we had this stage manager come out and tell us that we had to do those hand motions during the song. And I was thinking, like, we're all Taylor fans. That? Like, we're all going to know. We already know this choreography, but whatever, guy. We'll totally do it for you. But that was fun. So she's saying, "We are never ever getting back together." Red.
And those were the images that were actually aired, right?
Right, yeah.
And then she's saying two more for us.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Sorry, we're like talking at the same time.
No, Belle, what did you say? What had happened?
Oh, so they aired two songs, you know, on the Ellen Show, actually on the Ellen Show that she sang, and that was We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together and Red. And then she's like, you know, you guys all came out here and you waited for like hours and you had to get round up like cattle and stuff to like get to this concert and everything. And she's like, I'm going to play a couple more songs for you guys. So that was a really exciting treat. And she played for us Begin Again. And I believe we're the first Americans that got to see that live.
Americans or people?
Didn't she perform it in like somewhere else?
I don't.
Where else has she been?
I feel like she didn't. But I felt like I was the first person to see, first group of people. I was in the first group of people to see that live, and that was really special to me, and it made me tear up a little bit, because that's one of my favorite songs.
So you watched it Begin Again?
I did!
And then I was really excited about the next song that she sang, though, because it's like, it's a special Diane type song.
Which
is? You Belong With Me!
Yay! And then Ellen came out to play the guitar.
I'm sorry, Belle, why is that a Diane song?
Really?
Oh, no, I know, but people listening don't.
Oh, we should talk about that. Go for it.
Well, you know what? We should, like, link it on the YouTube channel, though, because it's really good. Diane did a cover enactment of We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. Not that song. Of You Belong wow, With Me. My bad. Of You Belong With Me. And she looks eerily like Taylor in it, but it's a really cute video, and she did a really good job. So every time I hear that song, now I think of Diane.
That video is actually already on TaylorSwift13.org in our videos section. A long time ago. To make it easy to find, I am going to put it in the episode 36 guide on TaylorTalk.org so everyone can find it and watch it and giggle as Diane sings along to You Belong With Me and looks like Taylor.
Into a hairbrush.
And just to say, I made that video, it's going to be 3 years ago in December. So if you hate it, just be like, okay, that was Diane a long time ago. She's no longer that weird. But if you love it, awesome.
Diane's a little self-conscious right now.
I am a little self-conscious. But it recently hit 1 million views a couple of days ago.
Holy cow.
I know, right?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's huge.
I know.
It only took 3 years.
It only took 3 years. Yeah,
but that means you average 333,000 views a year.
Well, actually, Adam, to be honest, it got a lot more views once you put it on your site.
Oh, wow. I'm patting myself on the back right now for sure. Good job, Adam. Yeah,
good one. Thank you.
But that was a really fun experience, and I'm really glad that we got to go.
Yeah,
that's totally cool. I'm glad you guys got to share it, especially here on the show. But let's talk briefly about the actual interview portion, too.
Oh, my gosh.
So funny. Absolutely hilarious.
So, we didn't actually get to see the interview, but we were standing outside at the concert stage, and they let us listen to the interview. So, we got to hear it first without seeing all the funny facial expressions, and I don't even know what to say. We were all dying laughing. And then watching it, actually seeing it, made it even funnier. She and Ellen are hilarious together. I feel like they should have their own talk show.
Ellen does have her own talk show.
I think that Taylor and Ellen should have their own show together.
Oh, okay, Belle. I gotcha. Thumbs up.
So, first of all, for everybody that, in case you haven't seen the interview, Taylor has a fear of earwigs. They're like these little bugs with pinchers, I guess. And she was worried that they were going to crawl into her ear and eat her brain.
Eat her brains out!
Eat her brains out, yeah. So Ellen got her a ear wig. It's like basically earmuffs made out of hair.
That is so funny.
Like, here's this is going to solve this problem for you.
I think that's only half as funny, though, as having somebody dress up in a giant earring costume and sneak up behind Taylor and scare the out of her.
I think that there's a video on YouTube now of, like, a compilation of Ellen scaring Taylor.
I hope so. I'd imagine there would be.
Every 5 minutes that she's there. Like,
literally. It's hilarious. Yeah. Taylor's like, why do you do that? It's so funny. And, oh, gosh. So Ellen tortured Taylor. I mean, just tortured her about... So, the last time that Taylor was on Ellen, she was on with Zac Efron, whom she did voiceovers with during the movie The Lorax. And Ellen kept teasing them about dating, which Taylor says they've never dated. Taylor gets on to the, you know, interview, and she's like... And Ellen's like, so, how's your boyfriend, Zac Efron? Taylor's like, we've never dated.
Oh, Ellen kept grilling her on Zac Efron. Zac this, Zac that. Why didn't you call him up? I'm sure you spoke to him like last night or something.
He's your boyfriend.
And she's like, actually, no, we didn't date.
Never dated. And Ellen just refused to let it go and continued. And then it got even funnier with the bell.
The bell game.
So basically, Ellen asked Taylor, she handed her a big bell, like one of those big old like cowbells. That's like, ring, 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 ring. And asked her, all right, we're going to show a series of pictures of guys up here, and you're going to ring every time you wrote a song about one of these ex-boyfriends, or every time you dated one, right?
Yeah.
It was every time you dated one. And Ellen just, I don't know what she was thinking, because first of all, she put up a picture of John Mayer at some point, and that had to be super awkward for Taylor. But then she was also super funny and had a picture of Taylor with Danny DeVito at the Lorax premiere. Which is one of my favorite pictures ever, because Danny DeVito is about 5 foot tall. Like, that's it. I think he might even be 4'11 or so.
He's really short.
Yeah, Taylor's got a full foot on him.
They would have made an awkward couple.
Yeah, that would have been really awkward.
Yeah, definitely. Especially since he's like 60 years old.
That too.
Yeah, triple her age, that's all. You know. But I thought it was pretty funny, though, when Ellen took the bell from Taylor, because Taylor refused to ring it, and Ellen just started ringing it for every guy they showed on screen.
That was funny.
So, that was a really good interview. So, I would love to recommend watching it if you have not watched it yet. Oh, something I forgot about it completely is Taylor finally showed the video for the first time ever of Bruce Springsteen playing for her backstage on her own guitar.
That was an epic moment to see.
That was a big deal. So I would highly suggest watching the Ellen interview just for that alone. That and all the scary moments with Ellen scaring Taylor, because that's what Ellen does. Then finally, the Katie Couric extravaganza. I don't know what else to call it, because Taylor spent so much time with Katie Couric.
Yeah, they're like best really friends this week.
Yeah, seriously, right? So if we're going to highlight some big things we can pull out of that, I'd like to pull out the fact right off the bat that Taylor more or less finally admitted that We Are Never Ever Ever Getting Back Together is about Jake Gyllenhaal. Did you guys pick up on that?
She pretty much said it was about him without actually saying the words, this is about Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's more or less what she did, because what Katie Couric did was say to Taylor, oh yeah, fans are always speculating on who your song's about, and they guess, and they look at your We Are Never Getting Back Together music video, and they see the scarf you're wearing that looks strikingly like a scarf you were wearing in this picture with Jake Gyllenhaal and displayed a photo of them. And Taylor was like, oh, I didn't know they figured that out already.
Yeah. Like, come on, that was Taylor. Something to figure out. Come on, Taylor.
I feel like she highly underestimates our detective skills.
I'm like Sherlock Holmes, Taylor. You can't get anything by me.
She is, she's clever, but not clever enough to, fool us.
No fooling.
No fooling.
So, Another thing that was kind of funny about that, I'm going to let the two of you talk about, because it was a Mean Girls reference, and I think that is the two of you's favorite movie ever.
Like ever.
Possibly. Like ever.
Like ever.
It's right up there.
Hashtag Taylor Puns. Would you like to discuss it, ladies?
Sorry, that's what I was going to. So Taylor had this quote where she's like, if you're horrible to me, I'm going to write a song about it, and you won't like it. That's how I operate. Because Katie said, I believe that was a response to when she was saying, asking Taylor about if she tells guys that she's like, if she calls guys and says, hey, I wrote the song about you. And Taylor was like, well, I don't need to do that. Like, they're gonna figure it out. And the thing that I find funniest about this situation is, how would you not know that? Like, if you are dating Taylor, and she already has 3 albums out, okay? If you're dating Taylor, any time between Speak Now and Red, even after Fearless, even after the first album, okay? I think you would know that she uses her music to sort out her feelings. Like, that's kind of a disclaimer that you don't need to be told.
Right, and I think what Katie specifically asked Taylor about is if Taylor had ever written a song that was so mean that she couldn't put it on the record. And she was like, no, I don't have a burn book. I just put those songs on the record.
That was it. It was the burn book reference. But yeah.
Oh, that's the movie reference. It took you guys long enough to get there.
It was the burn book. And she's like, no, I just have my albums.
Yeah, like, that's my burn book.
Yep.
What movie is that from?
Mean Girls. I don't remember that movie that we made you watch.
Yeah,
Oh my gosh, sorry. So I only saw it that one time with you two. You can't blame me for not remembering this.
Yeah, but you thought it was funny. You said that you giggled.
We watched you giggle.
It did make me giggle. Yeah, so that was pretty funny. She made a Mean Girls reference. Then, of course, they had some fan interaction going on, and they had a game, Name That Taylor Tune, where they had a fan compete against Katie Couric to name that Taylor tune, where Taylor gave a hint as to what the song was about, and then they played a clip of the song, and they had those little bell things they had to hit. And if they knew the answer, and then they would name it. And it ended up a tie. I'm like, how does someone who's supposedly this huge Taylor fan only tie?
I would have owned that game.
I would have, absolutely. But then again, if you think about it, like, even when you know something, like, if somebody asks you what is 2 + 2 = I would be really upset if anybody didn't know the answer to that question, obviously. But
isn't it 5? Just kidding.
I don't know you, Diane. Just kidding.
It's 4. You're funny. Making a joke.
I know. I'm just teasing you. But, like, my point is, when you're on the spot like that, I feel like some people just freeze, even if they know the answer as well as they know their own name.
That's possible.
Just that pressure of being in that moment. It's what they call the Jeopardy complex.
Okay. I'll give her a pass this time, then.
So I'm hoping that it was that and not that she didn't know, because I don't feel like she should be at Taylor's stuff in New York if she doesn't know her songs.
But the next bit of fan interaction, I have a bone to pick with Katie. Because she held a contest thing looking for the biggest Taylor fan. And I entered that contest. And I wasn't picked to be the one to interview Taylor on Katie Couric. I was like, ah!
Poor Adam.
I know, it wasn't fair.
Poor Adam.
You want to know a funny story, actually?
What?
So I was at work, and the lady I work for said she watched. She's like, hey, I saw your girl Taylor the other day. And I'm like, huh? And she's like, oh, yeah, on Katie Couric's show. And she's like, you would have done so much better than that girl they had on the show.
Oh, that's so funny. And you're like, I entered that contest.
I know. I was like, I entered that. They should have picked me. But they didn't. Adam. They picked that girl. And I suppose she did her job. That was fine. Good job.
But you're just jealous.
I am. I'm very jealous. I'm speaking out of bitter jealousy right now. Then there was also a moment in the show I hold very close to my heart.
Now, what moment was that?
When Taylor gave a shout out to her growing male audience. Yeah, represent.
Yeah, I'm so really happy. Proud about that, especially because he just feels he's very enthusiastic at Taylor concerts as a male.
I am. I love Taylor. I think she's fantastic. Obviously, I host the Taylor Swift podcast, but I don't think male fans get any recognition, because even with little things, if you look at the TaylorSwift.com store, there's no shirts or t-shirts or any merchandise for the male fans.
Actually, like there is a black shirt at Walgreens that I think you could wear, Adam. That black red shirt. But it's not
designed with males in mind. And I think male fans are discriminated against in this fan base. So the fact that not only Katie Couric, but also Taylor herself recognized her male fans made me very happy. That's all.
I'm glad it made you happy, Adam. And something that she said that I thought was really funny is she was like, well, those guys know where the girls are. Like, guys know that girls like Taylor Swift, so if they go to a concert of Taylor's, it's going to be a lot of hopeless romantic girls there just waiting for a man.
Fair point, Taylor. I didn't even think of that. Next Group tour, facts. Red Tour.
For sure.
Awesome. So again, if you missed any of these interviews, I highly recommend them. These were the big ones. Obviously, there were some smaller interviews also with radio stations, things like that. But these five we just went over, we're going to have all the videos on TaylorTalk.org for you guys to check out in case you missed them. So go watch them because they're awesome.
Awesome sauce. No, seriously, though, her release week was really cool. And there's a lot of funny, informative interviews that she did. So I agree. Go watch them if you haven't.
Yes. So, keeping in the spirit of the return of the mini segments, we're going on to a What Would Taylor Do?
I want to disclaim this one first. We picked this one solely based on the fact that when we read it, we all busted out laughing.
Oh, yes. And that included Maya and Haley, who are not with us this episode.
Yeah, unfortunately, they weren't with us. But they busted out laughing with us. All of us were cracking up. So, congratulations for making us completely die laughing.
So I'm not going to read this one because it's about me. So I'm going to hand it over to one of you two.
All right, I will read it. Okay, are you ready, guys?
Go for it.
What would Taylor do if Adam proposed to her and the ring was made out of Papa John's pizza?
I just can't even hear it without laughing.
I tried to say that.
My question is, all I can picture is like an arts and crafts room. And it's like, today, class, we're going to learn how to make rings out of pizza.
And then Adam was like, ooh, I'll do that for Taylor. And she'll love me.
Yeah.
Well, so I do want to give a brief background on this, though. Because the person who submitted it on Twitter, I can't pronounce this, but it's Lena Fadel 13. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I'm sorry if I ruined it. But I tweeted something. When I ordered Papa John's the other day, I'm like, just ordered Papa John's and look who showed up at the door. And I tweeted a picture of Taylor's face on the box cover, which I cut, by the way. And I
have mine too.
I'm hanging it on my wall.
Does that smell like pizza?
A little bit.
I still have the box sitting in my kitchen.
Okay, regardless. But anyway, I tweeted that and this individual responded to me about that. So that's pretty much where it came from. It wasn't a completely random, like, what if Adam made a ring out of Papa John's pizza? It was because I tweeted that, so.
It was funny, though. I don't know. I'm just picturing this in my head. Like, but seriously, like, if you take this question seriously, if someone, like, somehow made a ring out of pizza and proposed with it, like, how would Taylor even take that? Would she be like, that's the best joke ever? Or would she be like, what are you doing?
She would probably be like, how did you make that? And can I taste it?
Yeah, there you go. Is it edible?
She would eat her own engagement ring. That's so sad.
Well, I mean, it's like edible arrangements. It's pretty to look at, and then you eat it.
Okay.
I mean, it's food, and we know Taylor likes food because she likes room service.
She does like room service. Fair point, Diane. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're funny. You're on your game today, Diane. You're hilarious.
It's probably because I'm tired.
Maybe
a little loopy.
But anyway, I just think Taylor would find a silly way to react.
Yeah. I think that would be like that awkward but really funny moment when.
Totally. So thanks for submitting that. Next mini segment is what are Swifties listening to? Forever Enchanted 13 on Taylor Connect suggests that all Swifties should listen to Hall of Fame by The Script, featuring will.i.am. And we all listened to it before recording, and it's a cool song. I like the script a lot, so.
I think it's very true to their nature of songs.
Yeah, like, I recommend it.
It's definitely recognizable as a song by the script.
Totally. So go check that out when you get a chance. Finally, if you want to submit to all these mini-segments, just visit taylortalk.org and click on our contact page, and you will be able to see all the ways of contacting us. You can leave us a voicemail. You can tweet us at TaylorTalk13. You can Facebook us, again, TaylorTalk13. You can email us, TaylorTalk@TaylorSwift13.org. Or you can find us on Taylor Connect. Our username is TaylorTalk13.
And one last reminder for the mini segments that we weren't doing for the special edition month. Those are put together in a special video for you guys at our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/TaylorTalk13.
Pretty much just search TaylorTalk13 and you'll find us. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Pretty much.
Forgot to mention to leave a voicemail if you want to do that. You can do that on TaylorTalk.org or dial area code 240-31-SWIFT. Thanks for that. Looking forward to hearing from you all. So for episode 36, this has been Adam,
Belle,
and Diane
saying have a great day, guys. We will see you next week.
Virtual bye, guys. We parts. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.